B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let me talk to him. Let me talk to him. Let it rain. Let me talk to him. Come on.
I didn't know the first 10 seconds what this song was. I know what it is now, and it was also the number one song from the year 2008. So, would you have guessed that?
That matters. Song. This party song.
This is what music was music.
This is damn right.
Yep.
Get anything going. Car ride, boat ride, sitting in traffic, don't matter. Heading to the store, sitting outside, playing golf. You know, people got bugged by me when the Bluetooth came out, and I would keep them in my golf cart and play tunes when we played golf.
The course I play at now has speakers built into the cart now with Bluetooth. So you just...
Are you serious?
You pair your phone and you just play the music. Nice. They've embraced it. It's great.
That's awesome.
That's
the jam. That's Flo Rida, right?
Flo Rida, very... I wouldn't have been able to name the artist, but I certainly know the song. And short, he did get low.
It's spelled the same as Florida. You know that, right?
Yeah,
it's F-L-O, and it's Rida, R-I-D-A.
Really?
Yeah, F-L-O dash R-I-D-A, Flo Rida.
Kurt Warner, as you know, as you know, went to the Cardinals. Here's what Kurt Warner says. That Cam Newton could be on the Patriots what he was with the Cardinals, okay?
Yeah.
Let's rewind to when my trajectory with the Rams first started in a nosedive. The four straight losses to kick off the 2002 season culminated with my second hand injury in 2 years. Injury. I returned later in the season for two games, only to be sidelined again with another injury. Different injury. I finished the season with a record of 0-6 as a starter. Touchdown to interception ratio 3-11. This is Kurt Warner speaking. Disappointing season for me personally. Couldn't quite put my finger on it. I was confident as ever that I would get healthy and return to my winning ways. This was a minor slump. Although my confidence and belief in my skills never wavered, quickly started to hear the murmurs and rumors that not everyone felt the same way. Many within my own organization and around the league were beginning to wonder if this was the beginning of the end for me. They no longer saw me through an MVP lens, but through a lens of skepticism. Is this reminding you of anyone so far? New perception didn't threaten me from a competitive standpoint. It was nothing new. Many have been skeptical of my abilities all the way back to college. It did surprise me. It was just how quickly people's perspective of you and a player can change. Amidst all the rumors, I went back to work. Kind of like getting on a treadmill and walking for over an hour. Not impressing Jim Louth, but still, work is work. Believed I would show everyone that 2002 was a fluke, and that I would be that I could play as I had my first three seasons. I would be treated like any other starter around the league. It wasn't that way at all. Even though I won the starting job, people continued to watch my every move through that lens of skepticism. Could have been simply chalked up as a bad stretch during my MVP season became evidence that I wasn't the same player that I used to be. So he goes on to talk about going to Arizona, how things changed, and how things eventually turned around. And he says, this could be Cam Newton. Knowing Cam's track record and the competitor that lies within him, I would not be surprised if he once again rose to the top of the league. He's like, Cam had a similar challenge this offseason, coming off injury-ravaged campaign in which he looked like a shell of his former self. Given another chance by Bill Belichick, will he show his worth between the lines once more? What do you think, Zoe? What do you think about the comparison that Kurt Warner draws between him and Cam Newton?
I understand the comparison. Here's my question. Are the New England Patriots the New York Giants?
Right, exactly.
Giants are the team that he went to after the Rams. We sort of forget that, right? I think Dave Brown was the quarterback there with him at the time, and he struggled to play even with him there.
Why do you bring that up?
You go to Arizona because, hey, you could be just that. It could not work out here. It could be just that little rest stop you hit, and then boom, the next team he goes to, he's going to explode to what his former coach, Ron Rivera, said he's trending towards. Here's my question, too. Who's the Larry Fitzgerald here? He had some talent Arizona boy around him. He really did. He had good tight ends, backs, receivers. The defense was pretty good. And that was the year I think the Saints were targeting him, too, trying to knock him out with that bounty gate when Williams was the defensive coordinator down there under Sean Payton. Sean Payton ended up getting suspended for a year after that. But, you know, you play it in the dome, you play inside, you become that dome quarterback again. And I understand the comparisons. I think it's fun to talk about because there is a certain place that will sort of rejuvenate you and give you a second chance at life. It didn't happen in New York. It happened in Arizona. That's the thing. You know, given the situation, I think the coach here, the environment here, I hope he understands what the work ethic is going to be here, that it's going to take him to reach whatever level he needs to in 2 months. Ike's got a two-month tryout. And if it doesn't work out, I don't think he'll be here. And he'll be on to the next team, and maybe that's where he could be the next Kurt Warner.
What do you think, Tim?
Look, I know he's coming off injury, and we had a caller earlier say, you know, this is going to be like Reggie Wayne or John Lynch, someone that's on their last legs, but he's only 31 years old. Like, I know he's coming off injury, but to me, this is more like a Randy Moss type situation where you're buying low on a player that still has plenty left in the tank. I think he has a real opportunity here to be a stud again, and I would be surprised honestly, if he isn't.
Left.
Yeah, absolutely.
He should. If he takes care of himself the way he should and eat right, and you watch him in these videos and how he's training, I mean, he's a physical specimen to begin with. All you got to do is hone that. You know, focus. Work your ass off. This guy should have another good 5 years in this league. Only himself is stopping himself. That's it.
Let's grab a couple of calls here on Cam Newton. We'll go to Alden, who's been holding for a while. Thank you for your patience, Alden.
Good name.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. I'm just first want to say I saw Hardy at the Deutsche Bank a few years back, and you had told me about Davis Love, and of course I just was reminded of it because your father's middle name. And I am calling about
Cam Newton, and he dropped off. I didn't hang up on him.
Aiden.
Call back. It's Alden, not Aiden. Alden. Here's Chris in Peabody.
Davis Love, by the way, one of the first golfers to have man boobs.
That's a Davis, by the way.
Yeah.
That name fits.
He is a Davis. And he's a third.
Yeah.
Too, like Jim Love.
Oh, God.
Just like
worse.
Jim Love.
Probably like grew up on a country club.
I think it's safe to say. Go ahead, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, man. I just wanted to explain, like, I talked to you guys about 2-3 months ago about Cam Newton being a great fit for the Patriots offense, and now he's our quarterback, so, like, I'm just ecstatic about it, and he is a hell of a player. I follow him on Instagram. He's always working, and, you know, he's got to be ready to go. He's going to be a stud. I really think he's going to be, like, the Patriots, like, future. Like, I think we're going to sign him. After this year, I believe it. He's been one of my favorite players since he was at Auburn, legit. So I really see good things happening with this pickup there with Cam.
Yeah, you know? It is crazy to think about because, you know, we've watched Cam Newton for so long now, and you think of him, he is a veteran. You know, he's 31 years old. But whereas, say, 8-10 years ago, If you were to talk about signing a 31-year-old quarterback after a wait-and-see season and then signing him to begin a long-term contract extension at the age of 32 next year, that would be unthinkable not long ago. Right now, it doesn't seem like that crazy of a notion. The one thing that does bother me, though, is Cam's playing style, whereas if he were more of a, you know, pocket passer, okay. That's where you can really expect, many more years of success out of a quarterback approaching his mid-30s. For Cam, I don't know if that would be the case. I mean, realistically, Zoe, if he really shines in camp and they decide that he is not only the guy for this coming year, but for, you know, years afterward. How much longer could Cam play?
Well, he's got a good 5 years left.
Even with his style.
I'd take him to 36. Well, I mean, you'd change his style, right? You got to figure out, why did you get to this point? You have to ask yourself that. Everybody talks about data, look at the science. Then let's look at it. Okay, here's where you have this problem. Here's where you have that problem. This is why you have this injury. So eliminate that. Let's change some of the style. Let's get rid of the ball quicker. Let's minimize some of the hits on you. Let's not force you to run. Let's sort of retool your mechanics. And if he's open to that mentally, and if he can accept that, then he's got one hell of a shot to succeed here. If he's stubborn about it and he's like, you know, it's going to be my way or the highway, and he might be out of here in 2 months. You know, I think it's up in the air right now.
So don't you think it's a perfect fit, though, from the Pats' perspective, where they're not a team that's like, we do what we do. This is what we do. Like, you go back to 2016 and Garoppolo and Brissett and their ability to just kind of change on the fly week to week with those different guys. I feel like the Patriots are one of those teams that are going to put Cam Newton in the best possible position to succeed and not make him do something that he's not comfortable doing.
That's right. 100% right. I mean, they're not going to totally retool the offense, but they'll probably keep 65-70% of it and then adapt the other part to fit him.
All right, Ron Rivera has thoughts on Cam Newton, too. We'll hear what those are. Zoe has thoughts. McCone does. I do. Everybody thinks things. Everybody thinks thoughts. What are your thoughts on Cam Newton? 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, good for him. He went to New England, which I think is going to be a great spot for him, and I think he's going to have a lot of success. I would never bet against the young man, that's for sure.
For those who are not fans of Cam Newton, for those who say he's selfish, he's a hot dog, and his best years are far behind him, what would you say to those people?
Don't bet against him. I really wouldn't. I mean, first of all, you got to know who he is and understand what he's gone through. And he's a guy that always tried to do things, I think, because he's felt the pressure. He felt the pressure of being the number one pick. He felt the pressure of having won the Heisman Trophy and being the number one pick. He felt the pressure of being a black quarterback, you know, and with all this stuff that's been heaped on him. And he's really had to find his way through it. And he's done a great job with it.
.670 the score in Chicago. Ron Rivera on talking about Cam Newton. Don't bet against him. That's what he said over and over again. Don't bet against him. And he also echoing what other people have said, which I pay some attention to, just not a lot. He seems to be in really good shape. Okay, he's in good shape. That's good. Can he play? Is he going to be able to avoid the injury bug? And in terms of his injuries, though, I think this is important to point out that while the injuries derailed him in 2018, before he had a couple of runs of bad luck with, you know, he did have a concussion at one point. He had the shoulder thing, but in his first 119 starts at quarterback, I think he missed 7 games. It's not like he's been injury plagued his entire career. I mean, he is a big, strong, durable guy for the most part. In 2018, we know, was the bad year. So, I don't know. Are you betting against him, Zoe?
I'm not betting against him. I just don't know if he's going to be able to pick this up and prove to them that he's done enough to be the guy here in a very, very short amount of time. Because you don't have OTAs. You don't have mini camps. You're going right into camp. And I think that's an advantage for Stidham. I still think it's an advantage for Jared Stidham because he's been here. He knows the terminology. I think he knows the receivers, the ins and outs of it. And I know Edelman's fired up. He tweeted today, hey, let's get to work, and a picture of him and Cam Newton.
Well, how about that? Let me ask you this. If starting on a sliding scale, like, you know, zero change, right? The offense that they ran with Tom Brady last year, right? That's at a zero. And you go all the way up to 10 to having to totally retool things. How much do you have to change the offense for Jared Stidham on that scale? And how much would you have to change it for Cam Newton?
I think you change maybe 20% of it for Stidham. You probably change between 30 and 40% of it for Newton.
Okay, so it's not a whole, I mean, it's a lot. It's maybe changing twice as much, but it's not completely revamping and retooling. I would agree with you, though. It's an advantage for Stidham when they're looking at things and how things are designed and what they have to work with, that it's going to require less change for everybody involved with the offense to go with Stidham than it would be for Cam Newton. That's got to be an advantage just from a coaching standpoint when you're looking at the two.
Yeah, and again, like, don't bet against him. Don't bet against him. Well, nobody's betting against him. It's just like they want to move in a different direction. They fired you. They brought in a new coach. He's going to want to bring in his type of quarterback, new ownership, all that stuff. Things changed in Carolina. He's got 120 more starts at this level than the entire quarterback room, the rest of it combined. So he's got a massive advantage from an experience standpoint. But I mean, we've seen guys go to certain places and just, you know what, just didn't work out there. Didn't work out for whatever reason. He's got 2 months. He's got 2 months, and I think it's too short a window given the fact that, you know, you're not going to have a ton of days probably in pads. You can't get into helmets until, what, the 18th. So there's going to be a lot of classwork, a lot of walkthroughs, and it's tough to prove yourself in a walkthrough. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, I see two coming strong here. Okay, do it in a blitz situation. You know, how do you simulate that? How do you emulate that? There's a lot of things up in the air. You know, if one thing, I think the clock is fighting him on this. The fact that he sat out there so long.
It's a bad season to try and come in and
I get it.
And make your impression. I get that too. I still think he's the guy. And you can chalk this up to, you know, my inability to watch Jared Stidham in practice, and my And put everybody in this category, right? Our lack of data on Jared Stidham, whether it comes to, you know, watching games, well, preseason, few snaps here. I've seen what Cam Newton is capable of. If he's capable of something approaching that, even in the confines of a training camp or walkthroughs or whatever, Zoe, he's the guy. And more importantly, I think the Patriots think he's the guy. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. I cannot make myself believe that they just brought him in as a safety net.
I get all that.
Cam Newton is more than a safety net.
I get all that, but you go back to when Tom left. And after it all the dust settled, then everybody pretty much agreed they probably were content letting him walk. Like it was time, right? Like they couldn't afford it. They didn't want to do the $13.5 million with the cap and all this and the redo and commit and give him another 2 years at his Tom's age. So they were good to set to move on, right? To let the greatest ever play it move on. This means that they would have had no plan then. To bring Cam Newton in right now and hand it to him means they had no plan post-Brady then. This is not how you operate normally. You don't sit here and find your quarterback at the end of June with camp a month away.
So that part's true. Like
this defies all, and this is why I'm sticking with Stidham as a starter. Right now, you ask me, gun to my head, who's starting Stidham?
That's you know what, Zoe? That's probably the best.
These are smart football people.
Yeah.
This guy fell into our lap at the end of June. I said, okay, there's no risk. There's no risk here. It's a very low risk, extremely high reward if it comes in and. Say, you know, he grasps it and just runs with it. And Stidham just falls flat on his face. Stidham would fall flat on his face. Newt would take it and run away with it for him to be the starter. That's how this would work out. Because this does not happen in the National Football League.
It's probably
especially with this head coach and his planning and his attention to detail and his control of everything and knowing what direction they're heading in, defense, offense, special teams. I mean, Jesus Christmas, they know the seventh best special team player and how critical it is to sign that guy, yet you're not going to have a plan post-Brady. And now you're going to tell me on June 30th that this is the plan? Zoe's not buying it. No. Stidham's a guy.
It's probably the best argument that it would go against everything that the Patriots have done in terms of planning and thinking ahead, and not for just this season, but the season after and the season after and the season after. I can only say that Cam Newton does not feel like a guy that you bring in just in case. You know, just in case things don't work out. There's too many changes that would have to be made in order for
that.
One guy to fill in for the other. And I feel that they have a strong belief that he is going to be healthy enough to play the position. And if he is, he's going to be better than Stidham. That's just based on what my own eyes tell me.
And I think they would help him and have the respect of him as a player and a person that, hey, if it doesn't work out, we'll move on from you. But, shoot, we're gonna check it out for 2 months.
Right, let's grab a call here. It's Pearl in New Hampshire. Pearl, you're on Zolak and Bertrand. Hello.
Another name.
Hey. Zoe must be on Stenham's payroll or something.
Nope.
If he thinks that Stenham has an upper hand on a guy like Cam Newton, I mean, there's
well, you tell me why Cam has the upper hand.
One, he's played in the league. How about that? He's played at a high level, even in college. Stidham was he was struggling even in college. Like I don't get it. It's so funny to me that Cam, a former MVP, Cam, who's played at a high level in the NFL, even in 2018, he was doing well before he got hurt, and he's struggling to get the job. But when you look at quarterbacks like the San Diego former quarterback, he Rivers. Goes to Indianapolis and just takes over for Jacoby. He was doing well, but you're going to tell me Cam got to struggle to get the job over Stenham. There's a problem there.
You understand what Rivers signed for, correct?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. What was Cam's market up until yesterday or the day before?
And that's the problem.
I'm hoping it works out. I mean, I hope he takes it by the horns and runs away. This would be the mastermind move of Bill Belichick in 30 years, let alone the last 20 with Brady.
But it's not really a mess. I mean, it's a mastermind move, but it's kind of like Brady. It wasn't a mastermind when he got Brady. It fell in his lap. If it was so mastermind, he would have took him earlier. He took Brady sixth round. But what I'm saying is, these things fell in his lap. He got Cam. Now, if Cam works out, he may parlay that into another 3-year deal.
Sure.
And there's a future with the Patriots. And that's what I'm hoping, that Cam works out. He has a great, half midway through the season. He's at such a good point, and they parlay it to a three-year deal.
That'd be great for him. And I would root for that. There's a lot of people have him as a playoff team winning the AFC East without Cam Newton prior to him signing here.
You just don't think it's going to happen.
I hope it does. I don't know if we're going to have football.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I don't know if we're going to have basketball.
Is you following hockey and basketball?
Yeah, we're going to
touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, we're going to do that next because.
Just trying to be real here, man.
Things are not looking good, especially in the place where they're supposed to restart the NBA season a month from now. So we'll do that coming up next, right after McCone's Hub headlines here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Tim McCone in today in the McCone zone, or the Tim Bin. By the way, coming up at 1:20, Tim's Bits. Just bits of sports or entertainment news. Interesting items.
I'm just going to throw stuff out there. We'll see what
hey,
sticks.
McCone, I need to be entertained. It's better not be like Dan's dates when Dan says, you know, really not that good a day here today. Not our best work.
Have you been collecting Tim's Bits for the segment coming up here in about 40 minutes?
I have.
How are they?
Right now?
Yeah.
C+, B-.
See, that's exactly what Zoe didn't want to hear.
Okay. All right.
McCone, this weekend's 4th of July, like one of my favorite holidays. You got a hot dog put right in front of you. What are you putting on your hot dog? How do you eat your hot dog?
Just ketchup.
Jesus Christ.
I would leave that out of Tim's Bits. I would not bring that up just for the sake of the show. Okay.
What are you guys? What are you guys?
10-year-old, you're like my 10-year-old or like Dennis Knutson, the chief engineer at the station. Just ketchup.
You know what I enjoy? I mean, if I could have any hot dog I'd want a Detroit style coney. With chili, mustard, and onions.
Oh, like if we're talking chili cheese, I would do that.
But
go to Oneyville.
You know what I like? Coleslaw. Coleslaw and a hot dog.
Oh, my God, yes.
Delightful.
Chicago is the best town to have a hot dog in.
Chicago-style hot dogs are so... people don't like them. I don't know. You don't like things.
Well, you put tomatoes and pickles
oh,
on.
Oh, my God.
The whole pickle
everything,
spear.
Everything.
It's too much, almost.
Shut up. Too much. It's perfect.
Mustard, ketchup. And finally, chopped onions. I love McCone with a little crunch on them. Yeah, just
the chopped onions are nice. I'll give you that. Yeah.
Mm. So I like the ones that are in the steel bin. You have the long spoon you can put on like at hot dog carts.
Yes.
Street meat.
We're not doing that now, though.
I know. Just trying to prep him so when 1:20 comes, he doesn't sit there like a deer in headlights.
He's gonna be fine. He's a pro. McCone has been mentioning some of the stuff they have planned for Orlando, whether it's painting the court with the Black Lives Matter signage there on the court. Players are going to be allowed to, have messaging on their jerseys as opposed to their names, which is all great for the restart, and it goes in line with what they, said they were setting out to accomplish, which was. Not just a way to play the game, but to do some messaging at the same time. I just wonder if it's going to happen, because the other thing McCone's been mentioning today is that the Denver Nuggets had to close their facility because of the coronavirus.
Only maybe till Friday, though, they said.
Well,
it'll all be gone Friday. Oh, there it is over there. Get rid of it. Just make sure it's gone until Friday. It'll be gone. Yeah.
Two members of their traveling party, 35 people in the traveling party, tested positive before the weekend shutdown, and then there's been at least one more positive test since Saturday. So we're getting this information now, even though the shutdown happened over the weekend. Is that correct, Tim?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm with you, Hardy. Like, it just seems kind of unrealistic at this point when you start to see stuff like this come out. That you're going to be able to have 22 teams down in Orlando and be able to continue this without any issues.
Why do you massage your chest when you talk?
I don't know. It's a good question. Honestly, I've never done it before today. It's something about this room. I don't know.
Maybe it's the T-shirt. Is it chafing your nipples?
It's not.
He's like Randy from Trailer Park Boys.
It's also a light blue. It's a light blue. It looks white on TV. I just want to make that
note. That's a white shirt there, Chief.
It looks white in person, too.
So how much of a bummer is it going to be if we don't get basketball back? I know golf only does so much for you. Only if Tiger is played do you really care. I don't think NASCAR does anything for you.
NASCAR's not a sport. Stop.
Okay, MLS supposed to start a week from tomorrow, and even though we enjoy our chats with the coach and sporting director of the Revolution, I enjoy the game. I'm fully invested in it, in especially when it comes to in the pre and the post and all that. But I know for you, it's not exactly your favorite. How bummed are you going to be if one of the sports we're supposed to get back that you might care something about basketball doesn't happen? And more importantly, what would that tell you about the football season?
Any sport you need back right now, and especially the dipsy-doo dunkaroo, the high-flying NBA. I mean, that's what everybody's waiting for. short season, the amount of teams in it, and it just feels like it's going to be like a big AAU tournament. It's going to be one of those de facto years, a special type of championship. Hey, we're going to be the first really big sport back, and we're going to show you how it's done. And, we did it. We sucked it up. We went away from our families, and we'll never forget what we were doing, how we got the world going again, how we got sports going again. And I think it is directly in line with how other sports are going to be. And if you're a football person, you should be watching the NBA and how it unfolds. You should be watching the NHL. You should be watching soccer right now, because actually they're running around on your type of fields. And then, boy, if they get interaction and if there's an outbreak, how the hell are you going to stop an outbreak in football where you're tackling people? For God's sake, I mean, you get up and close and you end up sliding. You have some contact in soccer. I'm not stupid. I've watched soccer before. I'm not the type of soccer fan you are, Hardy, but I'm going to actually pick at it when the refs start up here. Just to see how the operation of everything is going. And just to see how people handle it and how athletes handle it.
Well, to watch a game, to watch something where the outcome isn't predetermined, to watch something sporting related. But the NBA, this is, to me, second only to the NFL in terms of
NBA is a big one.
Widespread NBA popularity that reaches people who aren't necessarily, sportos. It's NFL one. And it's NBA number two. And the restart of hockey is huge for us here in Boston and for the Bruins and everything else. But just in terms of, what is going to capture the public imagination? What is going to speak to them in terms of, wow, we've turned a corner on this crisis? It's return of sports, and it's football in the fall, and it would be basketball. Basketball would be huge. It would be something for people to watch and rally around and see what they're going to see. And I am starting to wonder if it's going to happen. I truly am. And the fact that they are going to Orlando, the number of cases that are popping up in Florida right now, you talk about just, the worst luck. I don't know that anybody, of course they didn't see this coming. If they saw this coming a month ago, would they have even considered going to Disney World in Orlando? Would that have, I don't care what the facilities are like and that they have the hotel and that they have mouse keeping for the players and they don't have to, it wouldn't matter. They would not risk going to Florida to restart the league if they knew that they were going to have a fivefold increase in cases down there. And whether it's due to testing or not, the numbers are not positive. They do not look good. No pun intended there. It is looking like a place that you would be well advised to stay the hell away from if you had a choice. And a month ago they had a choice. They don't have a choice now. They can't change it now. So I'm really starting to wonder if it's going to happen. And if it
we're going to find out. We are going to find out, man.
And to think that other facilities in other states are having to close down their facilities. It's not just about Florida. It's about everywhere that's experiencing a surge, or they are starting to re-implement closures like they are in Texas and in California. Are there any NBA teams in those states? Oh, there are. Well,
Pittsburgh. McCone, you had something in your... McCone, didn't you have something in your headline about the Steelers?
Yeah, Steelers released a statement yesterday saying that they think that they can follow health official recommendations and play in front of fans at Heinz Field.
In a packed Heinz Field. That's right, baby. Steelers fans, they got to have their football. They got to tailgate. They got to have their kibasi. They got to have their sauerkraut. And they got to have their polkas. And let's go. That's all they got, man. Steeler country.
Zoe, you had something to say on the Facebook last night about fireworks. Do you want to reiterate that on the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marty had his press conference yesterday.
All right, we'll give you a chance to do that.
Fireworks aren't fun.
We'll give you a chance to do that. We'll give you a chance to also call in 617-779-0985. I see you waiting there, so you can chime in on Cam Newton, the NBA. Or maybe you'll have something to say after you hear what Scott Zolak has to say about fireworks coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just on the night.
It's Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beetle. Tim McCone is in. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh yesterday had something to say about fireworks in the city of Boston, which prompted Scott Zolak to take to Facebook last night.
Yeah.
Do you want to go over what the mayor had to say first, though?
Sure.
Fireworks are a serious issue not only in the city of Boston, but all across the country. People lose sleep. Babies get woken up. Some people with PTSD experience real harms. Pets are terrified, and they're fire hazards. So yeah. this is part of his crackdown on fireworks in the city, which you seem
well,
to have.
People are getting scared of him. People are afraid of him. He just rambles through his thing. And I'm like, okay. So it took till 2020 to figure out that fireworks are just scare the hell out of everybody. Just throw everybody into this mix. So let's do away with the Hat Shell. Let's do away with the Esplanade then. See, this is my whole Pops thing, too.
Well, they did. There
is the anti-Keith Lockhart take here, too. But no, I'm kidding. Hey, I'm not a moron here. For these kids, these idiots that are running around the city and or not necessarily even in Boston, but all around the country, which you alluded to, and you're shooting off Roman candles at each other, you're a moron. If you're firing fireworks downtown or lighting them off in your street after midnight or even after 11 p.m. to the hours of 4 a.m., 5 p.m., 5 a.m., Hardy, you said your neighbor called him. I got people calling him here. I hear him go off all around in our neighborhoods out here. Then you're an a-hole. I think there's a proper time. I think, later in the night, you shoot fireworks off. If you legally do it, if you go over the border up in New Hampshire and you do them up there, I'm not saying to go over and bring them back and all that stuff. I'm not promoting, the illegal purchase of fireworks and use of them. But my God, I mean, we have more things to worry about than fireworks, don't we? He does it all the time. Did you see the delay?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I thought you were dismissing the notion that it could be harmful to people.
I like the startling. I like the McCone, don't you like fireworks?
I don't get it.
I know
you're going to kill me for that, but I just...
You don't get what?
I don't get it. I don't get what it's about.
Your parents ever take you to a fireworks show?
Yeah, it's the way.
You ever go to a party on the 4th of July? You ever go hold someone's hand at the beach and you're watching them go up over the beach? You ever have any fun? You have ketchup on your hot dog. You probably have a water with it. You probably have a Poland Spring water bottle. Don't give him a beer. You have a water bottle and a dry hot dog, a cold hot dog at that, with some ketchup. You probably put Hunt's ketchup on.
So, you're talking about scheduled fireworks displays that happen either on the 4th of July or the night before or the night after.
And shot the pops.
And that's it, right? And it's over the Charles River. It's not
right.
It's not exploding shells outside your bedroom window. You understand the difference between a controlled, scheduled fireworks display that everyone is aware of and they know when it's going to take place and how long it's going to last, as opposed to the idiots who decide to get drunk and then start shooting fireworks off that explode either over your house or, even the next street over. And this year, for whatever reason,
people are cooped up. People are cooped up.
Fireworks calls to the Boston Police Department were up by what percent in June of this year as opposed to last year? What percentage increase do you think they went up?
Was it a 9,000?
5,500% last year, right? There were 139 calls. Mm-hmm. In the month of June. Do you know how many calls they've received this month in the city of Boston?
How many?
7,844.
thought.
It's a lot. And it's not the people who want to, you know, light a couple of sparklers and they just want to have fun. Yeah, I get it. And as a kid, I did it. I even did it like a couple of years ago. But we did it at 8 o'clock at night, and it lasted for 15 minutes. And all the neighbors came out while we were doing it, and that was
that's
it.
Fine.
It was
that's,
over.
And that's what it should be.
And idiots. And listen, you've never lived in this city, right?
No, I'm not a city dweller. I'm a suburbanite.
I lived in Raleigh for 13 years. Every 4th of July, it sucked because these idiots start shooting off the fireworks and they like I said, tend to start when they get drunk or they're bored and I am not exaggerating to say they don't even start them until midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes they'll go till 3, 4, 5 a.m. And
that's obnoxious.
Sucks. It sucks. And the other thing I won't do was dismiss the people with PTSD. I've never been in combat. I would never, ever say what is going to be upsetting to somebody, especially when, look, the ones over the Esplanade and the ones over the Charles River, a big, bright boom. The ones outside your window sound like a gunshot.
Gunshot.
And the other thing in Raleigh was sometimes it was. You never knew.
McCone, you never rode around through M80s and mailboxes?
No. Ugh. Didn't do
you
it.
You never lived out in the country.
Where'd you grow up again?
Worcester.
Huh.
You grew up in Worcester, and you've like had you didn't do any firework stuff. Amazing. No.
What'd you do?
What'd you do, play Atari?
Yeah, a lot of video games, I guess. I don't know.
Jim, you have big fireworks down there. You have fireworks everywhere in Rhode Island, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they're the big fireworks, but yeah, they have fireworks down
there. Yeah, you guys got the low-flying ones.
I'm all on board with this. Take them away. Don't let people do it. They obviously can't. If you can't do it reasonably and respectfully and not go out there the night a few weeks ago, somebody, I swear to God, I hand to God, it started at 4 a.m. and it went on for 30 minutes between 4 and 4:30. And I know because it woke me up when I heard the first one and I kept looking at the clock. I'm like, I wonder when this a-hole is going to be done trying to blow his goddamn hand off, you know? And it was probably two streets over from where I am, but it was... There's a lot of woods around me. They were probably shooting them out over the woods just because one's going to fall. So, yeah, they were being responsible. 4 o'clock in the morning. And then a couple of nights ago, someone started at midnight. Luckily, that one lasted for about 15 minutes. That one pissed me off even more because I had just fallen asleep. At least the 4 a.m. one.
You had a box fan.
We got all of it. Box fans, windows closed, AC cranked. You can't escape it. And in the city, you really can't escape it because all the houses are on top of each other. 7,000 phone calls, almost 8,000 phone calls this month alone. People are calling the cops on fireworks. You don't think it's a problem? Hello, McFly.
Oh, no. I just think we have deeper issues than fireworks here in this city. And
yeah.
Our concerns and that.
His updates. And right now, you're cooped up and you can't go anywhere and you can't get away from it. And I've got all the idiot neighbors who are shooting off their fireworks all night long.
It's a big week. Big week.
I don't blame them.
Independent.
Go buy them, have fun, shoot them off where you're supposed to. Not in the city. Not
be
around
safe.
Other
be,
houses.
Be smart,
Not
people.
In the middle of the night. Don't be an idiot. Ruin it for everybody.
Tell you what, that Katy Perry thing, too. That was one of the best halftime shows. That took me back, too, out there in Arizona.
That's something that I will never... I didn't get it. The one with the sharks...
Well, the sharks, you didn't need it, but when she came out like on that line and that fire, and we felt it, you know, we were up on that third level, and you could feel the heat from that chariot she was riding. That was badass. That was pretty good. Sharks were they were not synchronized because they couldn't look at each other. See, you can't see out of the shark hood. They were like all off kilter.
What was the firefighter movie with the Backdraft?
Like Backdraft.
Backdraft the musical. You can feel the heat coming off the stage.
Yeah.
All right. Tim McCone's got the Hub headlines here. And then, Zoe, do you have any fetishes of any kind?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about yours, but we're going to talk about the ones that baseball players have, too, coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.